Welcome to Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag NowChurch. Thank you, and enjoy today's service.
It's an exciting day. We are glad that you're here and you made it through the rain. It was just one line of storms, they said, and now, you know, now just a little bit of rain the rest of the day. But we're so glad that you're here and that you made it through. You're already somebody that perseveres. That's good. That's something great. Anyway, how many were here last week? It was an amazing Sunday, last Sunday. And we're just believing God to continue whatever He wants to do. I never try to compete with myself. I'm not trying to follow up by rah-rahing or anything else today. I just want the Word of God to come forth, okay? I just want the Word to come forth in power. Let's just get into it, okay? We want to welcome you. We're glad that you're here. Today's message I call the sacrifice of faith and obedience. Sometimes we get so, the Bible says we get where we complicate the gospel. Paul wrote, I hope you're not deceived from the simplicity that's in Christ. You know, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. That's the greatest truth. And sometimes the sacrifice of faith and obedience is simply doing the next thing God tells you to do, and we overcomplicate it sometimes. I want to get right into the New Testament today, Romans chapter 12 from the Message Bible. Some of you know this from other translations, but I'm going to read from the Message. And this is what it says: in the inerrant, the inspired, the infallible Word of the living God, the love letter from God to man. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, you're sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture. Here's a caution, a warning. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. When you do that, you'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Simply, you know, faith and obedience. Readily recognize what He wants from you, quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Some of you may have memorized or know that as present your bodies as a living sacrifice to God, which is an acceptable offering to Him. I want to weave in Hebrews chapter 11. We call it the God's Faith Hall of Fame chapter, okay? God's Faith Hall of Fame. Hebrews 11:32 says this: and what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel, the prophets, who through faith, everybody say through faith. Through faith subdued kingdoms. Everybody say through faith. Through faith they worked righteousness. Everybody say through faith. Through faith they obtained promises. Say through faith. They stopped the mouths of lions. Through faith they quenched the violence of fire. Through faith they escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness they were made strong through faith. Became valiant in battle through faith. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens through faith. Let's pray one more time. Let the word of the Lord come forth. Father, let your word come in power today. Holy Spirit, just make me a vessel, an instrument. Come, Holy Spirit, have your way, as we sang earlier. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I love when Pastor Chris does transitions. I only have one little correction today when he said that our theme is those who have turned the world upside down. It's not. It's these who have turned the world upside down because you are included. Those would be those. These is us-ins. For those of you who speak Oklahoma. Anyway, sorry. I'm sorry. I love you, Oklahoma. I love the Oklahomans. Last week, we preached a word called Close Encounters of the God Kind. We looked at the next new generation, drew a comparison to the life of Gideon in the Old Testament. in the book of Judges. We said that every difference maker needs to start with a divine encounter with God. It's time. I used to preach a message years ago called Find Your Own Burning Bush. You have to find your own place where the fire of God is there for you in order to move into your destiny. You've got to start with a genuine repentance, a genuine seeing the holiness of God and seeing your own sin. This month, we're talking about turn the world around, making a difference. Every great thing ever accomplished in the Lord is achieved by ordinary people with extraordinary faith. That's what Hebrews, the 11th chapter, is all about, God's Faith Hall of Fame. It starts out and says that that now faith is the substance of things you're hoping for, the evidence of things you don't see yet. Faith is seeing something that's still invisible, but knowing in your heart that God promised it, so it's real. It's not wishful thinking. It begins with a word. It begins with a word from God. It begins with a promise from God. Not you going, oh, I wish I had $1 million. It begins with you being faithful with $10 or $100 and watching God do what he does. It's not about money at all. It's about having God come through with promises in provision in every way. And in almost every verse in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, by faith, or through faith. By faith, Adam. By faith, Enoch. By faith, this one. By faith, that one. And it goes through, and that's why I emphasize the last couple of verses of it. By faith and through faith, everything that will be achieved is achieved. And I want to follow up last week's message on Gideon by looking at some of the rest of Gideon's powerful journey and just kind of put it in a capsule there as a roadmap of righteousness, a roadmap of redemption, a roadmap of someone that was found by God as a complete coward, living in dysfunction and accepting it and not even believing for the change until God showed up, the Spirit of God, the angel of the Lord showed up and said to him, God is with you, mighty man of valor, mighty man of courage. And Gideon's like, who, me? What are you talking about? And a lot of us feel like that sometimes. Listen, when we left off, we'd seen this professional coward until God showed up, and Gideon offered a sacrificial offering. That's where we left off last week. God spoke to him about his identity, and God said, no, this is how I see you. When God speaks, he tells you potential. He tells you purpose. He tells you calling. Any genius, you know, and I say that word, you know, sarcastically, anybody at work that's sarcastically talking to you can tell you who they think you are. They can belittle you. They can try to put you down. They can try to label you. They can try to relegate you. They can try to put you on the side. But God speaks. When God said to Gideon, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor and courage, you brave man. And Gideon couldn't accept it about himself and actually argued with God. But I submit to you, a lot of us argue with God when he tells us who we are. We say, oh, no, I'm just this, I'm just that. And we start relegating, we start deferring to our personality instead of our destiny. I want to say this to you and those of you watching online. Quit hiding behind your personality, whether you're shy or reserved or you like to be in the background, introvert, extrovert. It means nothing. That means nothing in God. Because God speaks to your potential, and whether you like it or not, even if you're the quietest person in the room and you never like to talk to people, you have influence by the way you're living your life. People are reading the gospel of your life. Gideon's reaction when he made that offering to the Lord, something shifted. Because the Bible says as he offered the offering to the Lord, God showed him here's how to bring me an offering that'll glorify me. And when he did it the God's way, the Bible says that a supernatural flame consumed it miraculously and God received the offering. And Gideon felt like he was going to be consumed because this fear of God, he's like, oh, this is not just an angel. This is God. This is the presence of God I'm undone. I'm unworthy. I can't. I'm going to die. The Bible says no one can see God's face and live, so I'm going to die. And the Spirit of God says, no, you're not going to die. You're going to be all right. The Lord said, because I give you peace. And the Hebrew word is shalom. Some of you know that word. God says, I'm gonna be with you. Don't fear. You're not going to die. Let me read it to you from Judges 6:24. So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it the Lord is peace, or Jehovah Shalom. To this day, it's still in Oprah of Winfrey. Anyway, so that's my joke from last week. So sorry, you get reruns. To this day, it's still there. Jehovah Shalom. It is the place where, listen, this is where we get one of God's revealed covenant names. You want to know God? You have to know him by his name. You have to know him by his name. The Bible says he exalts his name. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous can run to it and be saved. But it's not just saying Jehovah or Yahweh or Jesus. It is knowing the power behind his name, who he is by covenant promise. And so one of these names is, he is my peace. And it literally means this. The Lord is my peace, prosperity, well-being, contentment, health, and wholeness. Shalom also speaks of friendship and security. It calms Gideon down immediately from all this arguing with God. He has this next encounter. And I say this to you, the answer for anxiety as the buzzword of the hour, the answer for anxiety is not medication. The answer for anxiety is Jehovah Shalom, the Prince of Peace, the Prince of your prosperity, well-being, contentment, health, and wholeness, the Prince of friendship and security, the one who lets you know you're okay. He accepts you like you are, but he doesn't leave you that way. He accepts you just as you are, but he never leaves any of us the way we came in. He always takes us and shapes us and causes us to grow and move into who he called us to be. And I say today, the next new generation desperately needs that same experience. After that, after this offering and this encounter, this next encounter with God, he's changed. Something shifts in him. And now the Lord tells him, okay, now here's your first mission. I want you to go and tear down your father's statue of Baal that's in the community square. So it turns out, not only did Gideon not have the right pedigree, his dad was an idol worshiper. And God says, okay, you're going to have to pull down the stronghold over the community, over the city, and then I'll give you more instructions, but go do that. Take one step, as Pastor Chris said earlier, take one step. Tear down the altar of Baal that your father has built. And I want to say to you, it's time that we quit appeasing the modern cultural altars of Baal and their filth and their perversion. Listen to me, it is possible in God to love people and hate evil at the same time. We've acted the last few years like it's mutually exclusive. Well, if you hate evil, you must hate people. That's not true. That's a lie from the pit of hell. It is not only possible, it is godly to love people and hate evil. And I say this with all love and respect, and please explain to your kids, I'm not trying to curse and swear, but you've got to love the hell out of them. You got to love them with God's love and see them with God's love, even if they're different. But that doesn't mean God is just going to leave them alone. He's speaking into their hearts, especially if they respond to him. He will speak into their hearts, here's how I see you. And you don't have to bow to the altars of Baal. Baal worship in the ancient world included human sacrifices, baby sacrifices, illicit orgies and sexual sin and perversion, people cutting themselves with self-mutilation. Gideon was willing to be radically obedient, even to the point of going by night. Now, the only thing he did that was a little bit timid was he did it, but he went at night. You can't blame him. I mean, this is not just the city square. This is his dad's altar, his dad's thing. So he goes in, tears it down, and he was willing to be radically obedient. I read this quote the other day. This is powerful. Shane Pruitt said, "Lukewarm Christianity has become so normal that biblical Christianity seems radical." Isn't that a great quote? You look at the book of Acts, that's the way the church is supposed to be today. A church filled with power, a church filled with presence of God, a church led by the Spirit of God, people that were unique and individual, yet they were corporately one. There was victory, there was unity. That's normal Christianity. Lukewarm Christianity has become so normal that biblical Christianity seems radical. And I want to challenge you. I believe the next new generation is not going to settle for lukewarm Christianity. They're not going to settle for just playing the game, going through the motions, and acting religious, coming to church once a week. It's got to be a heart change. And it's got to be real. It's got to emanate from your toes. We're not going to play that patty cake game and just come to church. Yeah, this is good, and we're thinking about lunch. Love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. That's what the word says. In fact, Jesus said that's the most important principle of all. Love God first, foremost, and passionately. The Lord instructed Gideon to set up. Now, he tears down the altar. But now God says, okay, now build an altar to Jehovah. Build an altar to me. Build an altar to the living God. Build an altar to the Creator. I want to read you a scripture that kind of hit me differently than I've ever read this. And a bunch of light bulbs went off in me this week as I prepared this. In fact, I was trying to write a different message, and I couldn't get away from Gideon. I couldn't get away. I finally had to come back to Gideon. I surrendered the whole thing again on Thursday when I already had half of another message written. I said, okay, God, I'm going to be obedient. I'm not trying to go back to the Gideon well. I just, okay, whatever you want. And all of a sudden, boom, 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 boom. Fresh stuff I've never seen before. So look at this. Judges 6:27. So Gideon took 10 men from among his servants and did as the Lord had said to him. But because he feared his father's household and the men of the city too much to do it by day, he did it by night. Wait a second. Gideon took 10 men from among his servants? What about the least of the least and the poorest of the poor thing he said? Last week, if you weren't here, make sure you watch last week online. What about when Gideon's going, well, how can you use me, God? I'm just a lowly little, you know, wine or bread maker at the wine press. I'm just little old Gideon. The guy's got more than 10 servants. He says from among them, he chose 10 servants. You ain't poor if you got 10 full-time employees that you can take into the battle. And that is part of the point. It wasn't real what he was feeling. It was his own stuff. It was his own issues. He felt poor, therefore he was poor. But he wasn't, he clearly wasn't poor. In fact, these aren't his father's servants. These are his personal servants. Because he took them to tear down his father's stronghold. We got to get past all that nonsense and all this. Listen, he was obviously still broken. He was still broken. His insides were still broken, even though God was working on him. And that's part of the process of this. Get this understanding right now. Just because you prayed a prayer or you surrendered your life to the Lord last week, last month, or last year, doesn't mean you're all fixed. It's a process and a journey. Give God space. Give him time. Give him room. Broken insides make you feel disqualified and unworthy of love. Even after his first amazing encounter with God, he's still filled with fear. That's why he goes by night. Here's a promise. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's what the word says. In fact, the Bible says that the agape of God, the perfect love of God, God's love casts out fear. It casts it out. There's no fear in the love of God. When you fill up with more of the love of God, your fears will be dissipated and your faith will rise. The next day, the men in the city got so upset about Baal's altar and their own idolatry, they came to kill Gideon. They came to kill Gideon. You tore down our Baal worship, or you tore down our altar and our fun place and all the stuff the way we worship, the culture we live in. Don't you know you can't? They come for Gideon, and Gideon's dad actually stands up for him. Says, no, that's my son. He said, if Baal's upset, let Baal kill him. That's exactly, if you read the story, that's what he says. He says, don't you kill him. Why are you upset? If Baal's upset, let Baal kill him. But Baal's an idol. He's a stump. He's a totem pole, a tiki. He's nothing. So he's not going to do anything. So these guys band together. Now the Amalekites and Midianites band together because of this thing with the Baal worship. And they attack and go to war. And here's one of the key things for today. This blew me away. Judges chapter 6, verse 34. So this is the first time we see something happening now as a result of all the worship and the altars and the obedience that he has done. Gideon, it says in Judges 6, 34, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Say, came upon. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, then he blew the trumpet, and the Abizrites gathered behind him. The literal, listen, this is what blew me away. I've read this a thousand times in my life, maybe more. I happen to notice in my studies, in my Spirit-Filled Life Bible, in the little fine print in the footnotes, it says the literal Hebrew, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, says, this way, the Spirit of the Lord clothed himself with Gideon. Think about that. The Holy Ghost put Gideon on as a garment. And he went into battle and won victories. How surrendered do you have to be to just become a cloak for God? Just meditate on that. Think about that. I found that in my studies on Friday, and I couldn't wait to tell my team and my family. Listen, you got to. And we've been meditating on that thought all weekend. I mean, it's crazy when you consider that, when you think about that. The anointing of the Holy Spirit makes all the difference. That's the truth. The anointing of the Holy Spirit makes all the difference. Listen. How would you describe that? So I brought this this glove. I like to tease my grandsons especially when it's cold out and I have to wear gloves. I actually tuck my hand up and I put the glove out like this, and I shake hands if I have the right one. I shake hands and then it's nothing. Ha ha ha! That's Papa being Papa. Okay. So this one. So anyway, but I want you to think about this. How much power does this glove have? If I hit you with this glove, you would go, ouch, but you wouldn't be moved. But if I hit you with this hand, if I hit you with this fist, we'd both feel a little something, right? The Bible says that the Spirit of God, clothed himself. Gideon, Holy Spirit. Gideon, Holy Spirit. I know what you're thinking. If the glove don't fit, you must have quit. Too soon? 30 years this year? 30 years? Most people in the room think OJ stands for orange juice. Anyway, I've been holding that joke for 30 years. Anyway, talk about faith and patience. Okay, so where's the power? The power is not in the glove. That's the skin. You and I are just, we're just the glove. We're just the clothing. When you and I surrender to God, His force, His strength, His life, what He wants to do comes in. And now together, and if I hit something, they're not going to say, boy, that glove hit. Right? They're going to say, what? The force of that fist? Yeah, but it's covered in a glove. My friends, if you can see this, you can begin to move toward this. Because when I see surrender, I'm thinking, the Lord clothed himself with Gideon? I've never seen that language before in all the scriptures in anything I've ever read. And it just blew my mind. The tangible manifested power of the third person of the Trinity compensates for our own weaknesses, our own humanity, our own lifelessness. We are transformed in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Are you getting it? As Samuel spoke the word of the Lord over Saul in 1 Samuel 10:6, then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. The Spirit of God in you makes a difference. Quit making your humanity an excuse for not obeying the next thing God tells you to do. I need to say it again because only three people got it. Quit making your human. Well, I'm only human. Well, we are. But if you're born again, you're not only human. You're born again to a living hope. You're filled with the very presence and power of the Creator of the universe is behind you and with you and in you and for you. I'm only human. Flesh and blood, a man. Sir. I'm in a human league. Only 80s people get that joke, too. I've waited 40 years to use that joke. And all the teenagers of the 80s said, oh, see, they're here. They're here. The teenagers of the 80s are here. The Lord constantly reminded Gideon that God alone was his power source. I'm almost done. Remember his initial promise, I will be with you. My friends, we have the same promise that God will be with us. It's so strong here that when the war starts and the Spirit of God comes on Gideon and he blows the trumpet and he gets ready to attack back, he builds an army of 32,000 soldiers and he said, well, we're outnumbered 3-1, but at least we got 32,000. And God says, too many. Too many? What do you mean? They got way more than we do, God. God says, not about you. I told you, I will be with you. You got too many. He says, okay. What do you want to do? He said, tell all those that are afraid just to go home. You don't need any of the ones that are afraid. 22,000 leave. He's got an army of 10,000 and he's almost in a panic and he goes, but at least I got 10,000. God says, sorry, Gid. Way too many. Way too many? They got like 100,000 troops. Way too many? Yeah. What do you want me to do, God? Well, I want to show you it's not you. I will be with you. It's not you. It's not 10,000. If you, and here's what God says to him. If you would have won the victory with 32,000 or even 10,000, you and your guys would say, look what we did. But we're not going to do that because I'm trying to show you who I am. In you, with you, for you, through you, not that. So Gideon says, what am I going to do? He said, take all the 10,000 down for a soldier's picnic. Soldier's picnic? Yeah. I've been to Israel. One of my first trip to Israel, we went to Gideon's Spring. We were there. We took pictures there in the place. I forgot to bring any, but it was just, it was a really cool moment because you see this area and you're there. I could kind of picture it. But basically, for those of you who don't know the story, God says, take them down to the water. I want you to watch how they drink. Well, how they drink? These guys are about to fight a battle. Just watch how they drink. Said, okay. So as they get down, some of them stick their whole face down in the water, and they drink like this. You know those little birds that do, boop, boop. Anyway, they put their whole face in the water. God says, eliminate any of them. And 300 guys, they get down. Sorry, it's a little harder at 63 to get back up. Anyway, not that hard, but it's just, I just got to warn you, I make a noise when I get back up. I blame the fact that I teased my father when he started making a noise that he got when he got back up, which started in his late 40s. He got the last laugh. He's now 86 and doesn't make any noise at all. But anyway. So he says, watch the ones that lap like a dog. He said, the ones that bring it in and bring it up while still remaining alert for battle. The drinking, and remember Jesus said, you shall have rivers of living water that shall flow out of your belly. Of this he spoke of the Holy Spirit. When we worship God, we drink in the Spirit. We drink in the when you don't realize, when you're worshiping God, whoa! I think my knee even just popped. Laugh now. Right, Pat? Laugh now. Go ahead and laugh it up, funny boy. Come see me when you're 63. Okay. The reality is that those who did this, God says, I can use them. Because they know how to recharge their batteries in the middle of the battle. Warriors have to be worshipers. Just a little extra bonus right there. Warriors have to be worshipers. My friends, you and I can't take any credit for God's victories. It's only God. And he will not share his glory with another. That's what the Bible says. There's no room for pride. There's no room for, look what the glove did. No, it was the fist. It's not the glove. It's the fist. So here's how the battle was won, and then I'll quit. How the battle was won. Here's God's strategy. The strategy is called the sword of the Lord and Gideon. The sword of the Lord and Gideon. It's interesting because when Gideon goes to fight against the Midianites, he has 300 guys against like 100,000 troops. He's got 300. And God tells him, I want you to use the sword of the Lord and Gideon. Well, what is the sword of the Lord and Gideon? It's not even a sword. It's actually not even a weapon. He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to carry to the battlefield a trumpet. Give one to each of the men. Every one of your 300 is going to have three things: a trumpet, an empty pitcher with a lighted torch inside. The trumpet in Scripture always speaks of prophetic declaration. The trumpet, the last trumpet will sound. There's a prophetic declaration. The trumpet sounds and people will gather to the sound. That's a prophetic declaration. A pitcher. He said, I want you to break the pitcher when I tell you. And the broken pitcher always speaks of humbling yourself. You're an empty vessel. If you're an available vessel, you're a pitcher, okay? You're and if you break yourself open, guess what shows up? The torch. Who's the torch? Jesus is the light of the world, the living word of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So these three things together are the sword of the Lord and Gideon, but they're not a sword at all. 300 men again, three companies of 100. He puts them on three different hills surrounding the valley of the enemy. He puts them out there and he says, okay, when I tell you, I want you to yell, the sword of the Lord and Gideon, break open the pitcher, lift up the torch with one hand and blow the trumpet with the other. And that's what they did. When they did it in the middle of the night, the word of God says their former oppressors started stabbing each other with their own swords and became so disoriented they ran for their very lives, and there was total victory just like God promised. Take that strategy. Let the word of the Lord, the prophetic word of the Lord, be in your mouth. Let it be as a two-edged sword in your mouth. Speak his word. Stand on the promise. Be a broken vessel. Let him use you. Let him do something great in you. And the Bible says you'll have victory just like God promised. And now today, that's why I read to you Hebrews 11. This guy who was hiding wheat, threshing wheat at the wine press, we meet as a chicken. We meet as a scaredy cat. We meet him as a wuss. We meet him as a wimp. Are you getting the picture? We meet him as he's nothing. He's a broken man. But he makes it to Hebrews 11, God's Faith Hall of Fame. Because he was willing to sacrifice and he was willing to obey in faith. When you're ready to make sacrifice of faith and obedience, the Lord will fight your battles all the way to victory too. Let's change the world. Let's pray together. Father, we just need you so much. Holy Spirit, we need you so much. We need you. Jesus, we need you. Father, we need you. We invite you. We can't make it through these days without you. We cannot make it through this time without you. We need you. Prince of Peace, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord of our prosperity, blessing, wholeness, and health, wellness, safety, protection, friendship, and security. You're our God, and there's none like you. I pray that you draw people to yourself today, that you reveal yourself to those whose hearts are open. In Jesus' name, draw them. Your word says that no one can come to the Father except the Holy Spirit draws him through Jesus Christ. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed just for a moment, I'll say this before we close the service. This is so important. If you've blown it in some way, if you've messed up by living in chronic doubt and disobedience, it's time to repent. It's time to offer yourself up as a living sacrifice to the Lord. And I can't do that for you. And the fact that your parents or your grandparents served the Lord and prayed for you doesn't save you. It marks you. Maybe that's why you came to church today, to hear this message. People that love you invited you here, as Pastor Chris said earlier. You probably got praying people or had praying people in your family. And those prayers don't die when your relatives die. The prayers are still working. The prayers are still working. Somebody prayed for you and those prayers are still working. That's why sometimes you feel the conviction that you feel. It's not condemnation, it's conviction. But at some point, you can't live based on your grandparents or your aunts and uncles and cousins or your parents. You can't live for God based on somebody else's faith. You got to repent for yourself. And we want to help you live for God here. Nobody's perfect. We're all in the process here. We're not only human in the excuse way, but we're human in the sense of we're all in process of being redeemed. We're redeemed and being redeemed. We're sanctified and being sanctified at the same time. If you're here today and you don't know him, or you're not serving, if you're not living for God, we want to help you live for God. And the only way I can do that, I can't be mamby-pamby about it. I can't just put it out there and just say, well, just go through the motions, be a better person. No. If the Spirit of God is dealing with you, then at some point you have to repent. You have to get up. And Jesus said this way. He said, if you'll confess me before people, I'll confess you before the Father. But if you reject me before men, how can I present you to the Father? If you're ashamed of Jesus, that's why it has to be public. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I want to live for God, and I know I'm not living for God right now. I need help. I want you to stand up on your feet right where you are. Just stand up on your feet right where you are. Be real about it. Stand up on your feet and be real about it. We can't pretend. We can't play the game. It's real or it's not real. And I'm telling you, it's real to me, and it's real to a lot of people. Several of you need to be standing. I'm not going to have you come up to the front today, but I want you to stand up and be aware. Be real about it. Be real about it. God bless you. Is there somebody else? Today is the day. Quit pushing the Spirit of God down. You say to yourself, well, I'll do this later. Man, that's right. So I need to get some things right first, Pastor. No, you don't understand. The getting things right starts with this. Not going and quitting all your bad habits. The getting right place is coming to God just as you are and surrendering to Him and giving your life. Those of you standing and everybody around them, maybe at home, if you're praying with us today, everybody stretch your hand toward these people that are standing. Lord, we just bless these folks. We pray that you would do a mighty work in them. Holy Spirit, move in them through them. Let them find the victories that you've promised them. Spirit, soul, and body. Let there be victory. Let there be joy. Let there be freedom. In Jesus' name. Those of you, let everybody just say this out loud with me, especially those of you standing. Just say, Jesus, I repent of my sin. Forgive me for trying to live my life in my own power. In my own strength. I want to live for you, but I need help. I give you my heart. Come and change me from the inside out. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. You guys can sit down. Thank you, guys. Thank you all for standing. We bless you. We want to help you. We want to help you. We want to help you guys to grow, so please make sure, if you stood today, make sure you let one of our pastors know after church so we can be praying for you and with you and help equip you in anything you need.
Thanks for joining us at Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, event registration, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag NowChurch. Thank you.